We're at the seaplane base, and we are on the fly, and it's a gorgeous day out here. And these people like to have fun. That is the main thing that we see at the seaplane base every year. We come out here on Saturday, and that is these people love to play with water and airplanes and, well, tonight, watermelon. And this is all kinds of stuff. Mark Rassi is the chairman, and he's co-hosting with me today, and we've got a lot of people to talk to. But I wanted to ask you before we got down to some nitty-gritty with the judging committee here. Numbers, how are things this year?
Hey, you know, this is something I found out just right before we came on air, and I'm really quite excited about it because over the years, our dynamic with the seaplane community has changed, and we can get into that in a second. But the bottom line is that we have record number of seaplanes at EAA Air Venture. I really didn't think so because our opening weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and residual into Monday was inclement weather. We had a lot of thunderstorms in the area, but more importantly than that was the rough water. So wind doesn't necessarily represent how rough something can be. So meaning if it were a smaller lake, wind could be handled. However, on this big lake, the wind really makes the waves quite rough. So as a result, I do believe that we had a number of our aircraft that would normally come to the seaplane base ended up either not coming or they're amphibious, and that means that they have landing gear that can come out of the floats of the airplane or the belly of the airplane and land on the hard surface at the airport. And so this year, we ended up having 73 seaplanes here at the seaplane base, which is a lower number than our record. Our record here at the seaplane base was 148, and that was in 1999. Now, you take the number of 73 airplanes here, and you add that to 96 amphibious aircraft at the main airport, and that equals 169. So with that, back in 1999, when we had the record number here, the amphibious number at the airport was 15.
Oh, much less.
So yeah. It's a much larger amphibious group. But over that period of time of approximately 25 years, floats have become more readily available in the market. I don't want to say necessarily that they are affordable. However, they have become more available. And so an example is, you know, back in that time frame, a mall would be on straight floats. And now we can
little
have,
Edos, right?
Yeah. And so now my airplane can be on amphibious floats and allow me to land on an airport or have the freedom to fly where everybody else can't. That's kind of how I view it. So with that, you add those two numbers together, and we're at a record year.
That's
awesome. Exciting.
How about people?
Well, this is the thing. You know, I had one of our volunteers, we have a bus that goes back and forth from the seaplane base to Air Venture
or
grounds.
Or 20 of them or something like that.
Exactly. They just run nonstop. It's like every 5 minutes. And one of the volunteers said, man, there was a long line and the buses were full. And they just want to come out and see this special place. This is truly a really neat, unique part sector of Air Venture. Now, you know, we have John Knapp sitting here with us. But
Snaps,
yes. And so with that, I want to say this because I think he blames me. And so I want to set the record straight
here.
For
what here, or everything? Well, one thing
so,
or a lot of
so
things?
So this is what we used to say. We used to say that it was the best-kept secret of EAA Air Venture. And I think it still is. However, somebody has been letting that secret out and been telling people. Now, John is one to keep that secret. However, he told every single one of his friends, you got to come out to the seaplane base. So you can't blame it all on me, John.
But I've only seen one Snaps, and there can only be one Snaps.
That's for sure.
They cut the mold.
Welcome to the show, John. And are we going to talk to John about the judging out here? Because just like all of EAA and over at the main grounds, you have your own judging system over here and your own ceremony, actually.
Absolutely. And John is the chairman of that department. So he's in charge of a team of really high qualified pilots that know airplanes, some of them mechanics as well. And they go through their scrutiny of judging these aircraft, and it's not an easy task. I mean, these guys are out here every day. I see them morning, you know, they get together for their coffee clutch, and they get together to find out who's going where, what airplane they're going to judge first, and maybe coordinating with a boat or coordinating at the main field as well, because we have amphibious aircraft there as well. But, John, tell us about that. How many judges do you have?
Yeah, we have six judges and seven counting myself, naturally. Our judges, one of them's an AMP. How I became the judging, I won best airplane here in 84, 85, somewhere like that.
You didn't give that to yourself, did you, Stan?
No. I wasn't in the position that I am now. And interesting that you brought that up. Anybody that's judging, they have to step down for
okay.
a year.
Well, that makes
even
sense.
The chairman has to step down.
Yeah.
We don't want to have that. But we will go all over the field. We're down in the amphibian park, and we'll be up in classic. We'll be up in the ultralight. We'll be up in home-built planes.
Oh, okay.
So wherever there's a seaplane, or most of the seaplanes, a true seaplane are here. What we get in the field naturally is the amphibious type. And consequently, they can be anywhere.
Do you get a notification of where a seaplane might park over there, or do you have to go on patrol?
We have a real good rapport with all those people, the home built and taking classic and so on and so forth. And they call me up.
Okay.
There's a seaplane here that should be judged as a seaplane.
So let me just pipe in there, John. So when here at the seaplane base, when a pilot lands on the water, he's assigned a dock. He comes to the dock. He unloads. He fuels. And then he's towed out to his mooring buoy and then comes to the registration office and fills out a registration form. Now, at the airport, I know that we have a section where amphibious aircraft park. And, of course, we have Tony, our co-chairman, that is in charge of that department. And he, too, will have that registration form.
Right.
And that's how you get notified in those areas. And so if a seaplane, let's say like an albatross, might park down at the warbird section.
Exactly.
So the warbird chairman then takes care of that and knows to contact you. Is
exactly.
that how that works?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's
and
great.
It's worked very well. Very
okay.
well.
Yeah, and there are, I did see a couple of albatrosses over on the field.
Yeah.
Down by ultralights, actually.
So well, park that's normally where they park the heavy iron. If it's not warbird or vintage, normally parks down in that area. Yeah, we call that the heavy iron. There are DC-3s there. There's a mallard there right now. There's a couple of widgeons and gooses there also. But, yeah.
Are those gooses or are those geese, John?
They're gooses.
So, John.
Don't get me going.
So, John, as you know, I started down here when I was just a young lad. And so, how many years have you been coming here? Because it's been quite a few years.
Yeah, I want to figure out from 77 on. I think that comes to 41 years.
41 years. That's just awesome.
I have a perfect attendance.
Wow.
I had the big C. I got chemo on a Friday. Drove 18 hours straight through. I ain't going to miss this party.
There you go. Wow,
there
that's inspirational.
You know, that's what it is here. You know, these people come back and back and back. I've watched people that were little kids, and now they've got kids coming here.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And, you know, we like to talk about this. So you've been coming that number of years, and you've put up with me even when I was a punk. And so, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, but we liked you driving a boat.
Yeah.
We need a designated driver.
I do notice that even today, once in a while, you say, hey, why don't you go tow an airplane? I'm just wondering what exactly you mean by that. But John, so all these years, we've had all these people. And our volunteer corps goes quite deep, and obviously you're one of the longest-running volunteers, not only volunteer, but a pilot that has flown into the seaplane base.
A survivor.
And so with that, what we like to describe our group as is a big family reunion.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and that's why when John mentions that, I mean, that just proves the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep,
So, John, beyond what the obvious, which I just described, is the people. But
exactly.
what else is so intriguing to you about making this like you know, your number one focus to come here no matter what. Because there's not, it's not just been 1 year where you've had a roadblock to maybe prevent you from coming here, but you've made an effort. What else is so special about this particular place?
Well, let's go back a little bit. In the year 77, when I came here, I was interested in building an Osprey too, which was a two-seat amphibian. And George Pappard, the designer of it from California, told me, I called him up. I was interested in the plane. I wanted to get a set of plans, but I wanted to go for a ride first. Excuse me. He met me out on a, he told me to meet him at 12:30 out on a flight line. Now, this is the good old days. I walked out past the tower, walked right out in the flight line, jumped in the plane, and went for a ride around the patch. And since that time, I got into the Young Eagles. That's my payback for the opportunity to do that. Same with here. I was promoting seaplanes and the fun we have. And the only way to know about the fun is go up and do it.
Well, yeah. Yep. Well, that's with anything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's... I love the people here. I got friends from Alberta. I've got friends from Winnipeg. I've got friends from Florida, all across the country. So, and you remember the other year, the CB guys.
Yeah.
And I'm nothing to the CB guys, but they had so much fun. Come on, let's any excuse to have a party.
Question for you. As a judge, well, you're chairman of the judging or co-chairman, how does that work? Is that how
John is... his own judge. He's the judging chairman of his entire area.
Okay.
So John doesn't report to me. He is the chairman.
Because you can see the conflict.
Yeah, so we don't want to have a conflict. We don't want influence from the seaplane-based chairman. So John is his chairman of the judging area.
He does.
So he operates independently.
And I answer to the judging, Bob Reese, who is the judging standard.
Of all of Air Venture.
The whole thing.
All right. I've got a question for you. We're going to take a break.
Yes, sir.
When we come back, I've got a specific question for you about judging.
All right.
J-Mod G, we're on the fly at the seaplane base. You're listening to EA Radio.